What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Well, we're back. Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash, Pucks in 7, as we get closer to the postseason. A little ways to go, 10, 11, 12, 13 games, something like that for most of the teams. There's still some things that need to be figured out and worked out. There's a lot of fog. More excitement, to be honest, in the Western Conference than the Eastern Conference. But at the end of the day, there's going to be 16 teams. Only time will tell who those 16 will be. Welcome again to Pucks in 7, presented by Damon Barber Canada. Go on to DamonBarber.ca for your chance to get 25% off all their fantastic products. Again, DamonBarber.ca. Log on, enter the code PUCKSIN7, no space, and the 7, the number, not written out in the way it is, S-E-V-E-N. So PUCKSIN7, go on to DamonBarber.ca. We'll go east in a second. Let's begin with the West. You and I, Vic, have talked about this for a long time. I think most people have since the beginning of the season. The Central race is absolutely astonishing. It's going to come down to the wire, even though the Jets are kind of going off a little bit. Not as good as they have been for a while. Got some numbers on them, too. Who is the most dangerous in that Central division for you as we head toward March toward the playoffs?
All right. I know we both agree on this. I know we do because we've discussed it in the past. Uh-huh. Before we get to the Central, very, very, very quickly, I want to mention it is March 28th in the morning. I always like to date it so when people are listening, they know exactly, just in case something happens in the afternoon of March 28th. They're like, right. Why didn't we add that?
Oh my gosh, they missed that? That's
it's
terrible.
It's about 9:30 on the morning of Thursday, March 28th. Let's get back to the Central. I know both of us, we agree that the Colorado Avalanche have just been I think a little bit next level the last month. You can give your reasons why in a minute. I want you to go first on this. Why do you think the Colorado Avalanche are the cream of the crop right now in that division? You tell me.
It's a really easy answer. Georgiev has not been terrific. He's not been fantastic. He hasn't needed to be. That's how good the team is in front of him. When he does start to really get in a groove, not saying his numbers are great, and that's because the team has been great in front of him. But if there is a weakness in goal, it's because he hasn't been fantastic and hasn't needed to steal a game. So that's the only weakness on this team to me. And I'll be honest too, we talk about all the greats in the game, but we'll get to Nate McKinnon, my crush, in a bit more so than... I'm always glad, by the way, when you put this on, it just really makes me smile. Oh, we get to talk about Nate again. Fantastic. But Nate McKinnon, there's something different about him. There really is. I mean, he's always been a great player, but you just see it in the eyes. I know the point streak's great. I know the points are good. I know the team's playing well. All that stuff certainly morphs into, hey, I'm having a great season. But there seems to be a different focus with this Avalanche team. There really does. They know they're good. They're not too past the point of thinking, oh, we can take a night off. I find no weakness whatsoever in this team. The only weakness is Georgiev has not been great, but he hasn't needed to.
He's been good enough. I agree with you that Nathan McKinnon is a game changer. That's what he is. You can plunk him on any team in this league, and that team is instantly better from the get-go. He's one of the fiercest competitors in the game. He's also one of the most skilled. There's no question of that. What I also like about the Avalanche is, first of all, their decor. The third pair these days, the Johnson-Walker, but I'm still giving Sean Walker a little bit of time to get adjusted.
But you can be fine with that. I think you can be fine with a third pair not being fantastic.
I am nitpicking to the nth degree right now.
I see.
Okay? But we're talking about the minor weaknesses on what we both agree is the best team in the West.
Okay, fair enough.
So I'm getting to that. There's depth scoring. You're seeing Zach Parise contribute now. The Middlestat acquisition is working out really rather well. Jonathan Drouin has figured out how to score again. Things are just working out. It's not just the Nathan McKinnon show. It can't be because he can play 22 minutes a game, but he can't play 45. So it still has to be a group effort, and this is a very well put together team. We agree. I will make a minor argument for the Dallas Stars.
Okay, convince
especially
me.
Especially of late. Okay, they've won five straight. Nobody talks about them. Nobody does. Everybody, I hear every time I tune into a sports show, people are like, oh, the Dallas Stars are doing this again, and nobody's really talking about them.
And let me ask you. And let
and
me ask you.
And then they don't talk about them.
Well, that's weird. Has anyone ever talked about them all season? No, not really.
We have.
Yes, but my leading into it is, boy, Dallas is doing everything quietly. That's my whole point.
It always is. I mean, yeah. They probably made the most noise in terms of content and opinion-based radio when Ottinger was pooping the bed a bit. That's right. The most we ever talked about them because of a player we expected to perform better, who is now performing better, by the way, wasn't. I will make an argument for the Dallas Stars in terms of their depth of scoring. Their defense doesn't quite measure up with what's going on in Colorado. I think their goaltending is on par because, like I said, I don't think either one of them has a Vasilevskiy or a Hellebuck right now. But again, as you mentioned, they don't need it. But that line now, and you could argue it's their third line of Jamie Benn, White Johnson, and Logan Stankoven. Just the fact that they're getting this depth scoring when others, Duchesne and the guys up front, Rupe Hintz and everybody else and Robertson are still contributing, they can outscore you now. Like the Avalanche, and they are quietly winning. And you know what? Lo and behold, they are still leading the Central today.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, so. I know. It's kind of like looking at that, thinking, well, how can you not then favor Dallas because they have the more because they're leading? But I'm with you. That's a good argument. I know. And the third line you mentioned, that's ridiculous. Like to have Jamie Benn too. Jamie Benn's having a great season. I think part of it too is playing with the young guys.
Right now, he is absolutely en fuego. Now.
One thing I did know too about Dallas, what's been a big difference, or not a big difference, but they've been this way for a while, I think. They've always been defensively strong. They haven't allowed a ton of goals over the course of a season. I think they're 2.64 goals per game, which is fourth in the NHL, which is really, really good. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that they do a lot better now this season than they did a season ago is the penalty kill. They were 67.7% a season ago. That is dreadful. That is dreadful. Now they're a lot better than that. So I'm with you with that, but I still think Colorado. Can I just tell you a couple things about Winnipeg quickly? About
because not going to be good things, I'm imagining.
No, they're not. It's just because you're looking and thinking, well, you know, what's the root of them stumbling? Where is that? And remember how they won an incredible amount of games without giving up, what, more than two or three goals per game, something like that. So the first 34, the goals against were 1.88. Past 27, it's now 2.7. They're giving up more chances. They're giving up more slot shots. So basically, Connor Hellebuck has been fantastic. But is the defense getting a bit tired? Is the team getting tired? Winnipeg Jets, to me, are the team in the Western Conference now that scares me the least. And that's also including the first and second wildcard teams right now. I do not see Winnipeg making a huge run whatsoever.
I want to jump on that. You would rather play the Winnipeg Jets than the Vegas Golden Knights right now. I'm clarifying.
I would rather play the Winnipeg Jets.
Interesting. Because we would not have said that a month and a half ago.
No, not at all.
There's no way.
No. Central's going to be fun. They've been at this thing. And I think the point totals, I think, have Dallas, at least for now, maybe getting the most points. They're on track for, but it doesn't really matter. 1-2-3, it's going to be fun, and we'll see what happens by the time game 82 is played. The Preds, Roman Josi, wow. That's all I got. Well, I got more to say, but I'll start with wow.
Well, they can't lose.
No.
Even the other night when they went down a whole bunch of goals and they came back and beat a very good team, they can't lose. What can you say? You can't say they have not lost a game in regulation since like 2017, it feels like. It's just this team, anytime this team comes out, that's a stat in front of me, Ryan. I don't know why you want
they're
to
they're in a seven-year winning streak. Unbelievable.
But they are. Yeah. Here's my, and I can't stand it when people pee-pee on other people's parades, but I'm going to pee-pee on this parade right now.
Okay.
As amazing as this run has been, and more credit, all the credit in the world to the job that the coaching staff has done ever since the U2 concert that didn't happen and the way that this team has performed. This, to me, right now is so reliant on five players. Lucy Saracenet.
Yep.
Roman Josi on the blue line and that top line of Nyquist, Forsberg, and O'Reilly.
Yeah.
That team runs through. I'm not saying Luke Evangelista isn't contributing and Tommy Novak isn't doing things. They are. But this team runs through those five guys. And that's dangerous. When we're having a conversation about the depth that Dallas and Colorado has and how that makes them a little bit better. And we now talk, now here's the other side of the coin. They're playing amazingly, but it's still running through five guys and I'm worried.
You're worried. Okay. That's interesting. And
concerned,
you know what?
Concerned.
Yeah. And that could be a point well taken when they do get to the postseason, because what if those five all of a sudden don't have a great game, right? You don't have 82 to figure it out.
Or somebody gets hurt.
Exactly. Yeah. Knock on wood. Let's not. By the way, Feb 15th, the Preds lost 9-2 to Dallas. 9-2. Then the whole U2 thing. At that point, they were minus 15, 4 points back of the Blues. Since that, the Preds, 16-02, plus 42 goal differential. They were 25th in the league in goal differential less than a month ago. Now they're 12th. Incredible.
That's outstanding.
What you can do in a month is unbelievable.
I will say they do have actually great team defense. They're very physical. They're very tough to play against. So it maybe I'm oversimplifying a little bit by saying that it runs through five players, because of course it doesn't. Their team defense has been outstanding, but still just the turnaround has just been incredible.
Yeah. Some people kind of liken this to maybe the Blues when they ended up winning the Stanley Cup.
Feels like that, doesn't it?
Quickly, Roman Josi, since the calendar year, 44 points in 35 games, plus 16, four game-winning goals. From October through December, he had 29 points. Now he is 44 since January 1.
Question
Norris,
for you.
Norris?
I think he's nominated.
You have to.
He's going
to
be. So right now, you're looking at Hughes, Makar, Josi.
Yeah, agreed.
Right? I don't think there's really much of an argument to be made there.
No,
otherwise.
There's not. No.
Now, whether he actually challenges for the trophy itself, and I think, who are we still looking at? We're looking at Hughes in the first position, maybe?
I think so.
And if he continues, if he continues and wraps up this regular season the way that he has played the last month or so, month and a bit, I don't know. I think it's going to be a conversation.
And let me tell you that if you were to ask him, he wouldn't care less about winning that trophy. It's like, whatever, fine, I'll put up points. Let's get to the Stanley Cup. He's older, right?
I always think they care a little bit, but yes.
Well,
he'll
I'm
take
saying,
the cup first, of course.
Would you like this or that? If you were a Makar and whatever, you know what? I kind of like the Norris Trophy, but he's been great. He's been turning back time, which we all wish we can do. Speaking of the Blues, so Preds kind of looking like the Blues were not too long ago when they won the Cup. Two things: Blues have a shot. The Kings look a bit better. Is St. Louis kind of looking at the rest of the schedule now, basically saying, look, if we want to get in, then we really have to almost run the gauntlet here?
They do. Fortunately for them, because they are 6 points behind, which at this, 6 points behind in January doesn't feel insurmountable. It feels a lot.
It feels a lot
now. Because now you're counting on either, and you're looking at either Vegas or the Kings to tank. One of those teams has to spiral. That's the only way that this is going to happen. I will say this. They play in the next few games, the Flames.
Yep.
Okay, they have the Sharks. They have the Sharks again. They've got the Ducks. They have the Kraken. They have the Blackhawks.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of they still have the Oilers and they have other teams as well, but they have a lot of beatable teams in their next few games.
I'm going to go then with just do the quick math. That's 12 points you said with the Kraken, Blackhawks, the Sharks, the Ducks, and the Sharks twice. Yeah, and the Flames.
And the Flames.
Yeah.
Okay, they have 10 games left. That's a maximum of 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
If they somehow get away with 16 or 17, this is not impossible.
No, it's not. Too bad for them, though, that when they do get in, if they do get in, they're not going very far. But it doesn't matter.
They're going to be smoked in the first round, probably in five games.
In the first three games. Series done in three. The LA Kings. LA Kings have been a crazy season, right? You go here, you go there, up, down, fire the coach, all that type of thing. I've liked how they've been playing lately. And sometimes I think, okay, you got LA out of that third spot in the division. Then they flip-flop between Edmonton and Vegas and LA. And now LA is in the top three and all that type of thing. I like what they've done since Hiller's come on board. Nothing against McClellan. I think he did a great job. But there was, and I remember at that time when he was like, I thought, why is that? It's one of these things which does not make much sense. But since he came in, I remember the first practice too. I think it was he didn't change anything that McClellan had been doing. So the whole practice was exactly the same thing and the same format, which I thought was strange. However, he's maybe tweaked it a bit, but they're responding well. And I think at a very good time.
Oh, this is the excellent time. This is exactly when you want this to start happening. I mean, they went through the lulls before. There's a whole bunch of different reasons we can credit that. First of all, they look far more organized. If you're just going to watch a game, they lack that responsibility during their losing skid, and you can see that they have it back again. I know that sounds extremely simple, but you know what? It isn't a complicated game. It is simple. They're getting depth of scoring again. People can Kevin Fiala, thank you. Yeah. I mean, he's coming out and looking like Kevin Fiala should look. Other players are contributing. Also, and this is huge, Cam Talbot looks like the Cam Talbot from the beginning of the season where we were all talking trophy.
He looks like an all-star, doesn't he?
And which he was.
I know. That's what I'm getting at.
No. But by the time he got to the all-star game, there were a lot of questions about what are you doing here, because he wasn't playing very well at the time. And now he's starting to look like the goaltender again that we became accustomed to at the beginning of the season. And that confidence is going to be key. Nothing against Big Save Dave, but he's not the one who's going to carry this team through the playoffs once if they make it. They're going to need Cam Talbot to be this guy right now to enjoy any success. And it's the reason they're enjoying success right now.
You know what's extraordinary? And I'm looking at this right now. When the Kings let go of Todd McLellan, the team was 23-15-10. And I believe at the time, they, like the Preds, you said, haven't lost in 7 years. The Kings didn't lose for 7 years on the road. Which is a really, I got to look back if that's the only streak in history where no team's lost in 7 years.
Right.
Anyway, my point is, the last 20 games of his tenure, and I forgot about this, the Kings won only 5 times of McLellan's tenure. That's very significant. Even though they were 23-15-10, because not many teams would fire a coach when you're, what, 8 games over 500. Since then, under Hiller, they've got a 674 points percentage, 5th best in the NHL. Who would have thought that? They've righted the ship.
I wouldn't have guessed that. Besides you telling me right now, and of course I believe you, I would not have guessed that.
Yeah. Here's a good one. Zach Hyman scored 50. He's at 51 now. He had 50 the other night. Great moment for him. We'll get into him in just, right now. What's more impressive, and I thought when you put this on the list, it's really a cool debate. Connor McDavid's 100 assists or Zach Hyman's 50 goals. That's a good debate.
We should qualify it. McDavid doesn't have the 100 assists yet.
No. Yeah.
He's very comfortably on pace.
Yeah.
So unless something happens to him, and I'm not going to bring up any examples of what might happen to a hockey player, because I got absolutely destroyed the last time I did that. But let's just say he gets a very bad tummy bug and he's not able to play the rest of the season.
Yes. He feels under the weather.
If he feels under the weather, that's the only way that Connor McDavid is not going to get 100 assists.
He needs 7 assists. He needs 7 more.
And they have enough. I think they've got 12 games left now, the Oilers. Either 12 or 13. Anyways, plenty. What is more impressive to me, and I love Zach Hyman with the 50 goals at age 31. That's what's most impressive about it, we should say, is, by the way, other people have scored 50 goals. But the fact it's taken him 9 seasons and he is 31 years old, which is, you know, considered a geriatric, like a 20-year-old gymnast used to be. It is. The fact that it's the first time he has, and it's such a leap from any totals he had previously, it's incredibly impressive. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's just something a little extra about 100 assists. Not only the company that Connor is keeping, well, Gretzky's done it a whole bunch of times, but other than that, it's Bobby Orr. And please tell me who the other player is, because it's in front of me right now.
Oh,
Mario Lemieux.
Yeah.
Victoria. Mario Lemieux, Bobby Orr, and a bunch by Wayne Gretzky. That is just different company to me. That is a whole different level. You're talking about three of the greatest, maybe the three greatest who have played the game, right? And then you're going to put them already into that company. There's something super sexy about 100, Ryan. It just is. The extra digit makes it a little bit different. The gap between 99 and 100 is massive, just because you can say 100. So I'm going to say that is a little extra for me. Full respect to Zach Hyman's 50.
Wayne Gretzky did it 10 times.
I actually thought it was 11, but you know what? Good enough.
Maybe it is. My math is it's still,
a ridiculous 11 times, number
right.
of
so
times.
His
Wayne
least
Gretzky
amount was
ridiculous.
Least amount was 102. The most was 163 back in 85, 86. And Mario, he had 114 back in 88, 89. And you mentioned Bobby Orr, 102.
Right.
Boy, Bobby Orr. It's still too bad, his career. I'm going to go the other way. only because it's McDavid. And the reason why, if it was anybody else but McDavid, because he makes the game look too easy. He'll find spots that others can't. He'll find angles and little avenues through skates and blades and sticks and hair pieces and mouth guards. By the way, I'm so sick of these mouth guard things. Even McDavid now chooses mouth guard. Put it in or don't use it at all. It makes no sense to me. Or if you want to use gum.
The Tkachuks are really big on that. The Tkachuk brothers, they're constantly gnawing on it. I've watched hockey with you. I know
ridiculous.
How much you enjoy it.
Anyway, if it wasn't for McDavid, I would say yes, the 100 would be more impressive. I'm going to go with Zach Hyman. You mentioned he did it at 31, which is yes, Geriat, he's got to be wheeled to the rink now. No, he doesn't. But the point is, he got 50 at that age. The one thing that I really like about him, well, everything, I like everything about the guy. And some people look at the amount of goals he scored and how he scored them. It doesn't matter. If the puck goes in, the puck goes in. This is somebody, and I didn't see this till this morning. He scored 13 goals in 114 games at Michigan in the first 3 years. Only 13. And now he's at 51, right? He's at 51?
Now he's at 51 right now, yeah.
One goal score in the NHL. There's no way at the University of Michigan that you would have said to me, oh, yeah, one day he's going to hit 50. Absolutely. And he'll do it at 31.
It usually is the opposite. You see the prospect that has 150 points either in NCAA or in junior hockey. And you're like, they're going to be incredible. And then they come up and they're up and down between the minors and the majors and they score 10 goals 1 year. It's usually the opposite. And to see somebody blossom later on in life, I can understand that and I can appreciate that as well. Being a geriatric myself, of course.
he certainly does benefit like anybody would, playing with guys like Matthews and playing with, of course,
other
McDavid
people play
and
with good players. Lots of players play with good players. You can't, oh, he's just so much. Okay, so you know what? His agent was right to sign the contract where he signed
Absolutely.
The contract.
Absolutely.
And if he didn't play well enough, he wouldn't be on a line with McDavid. There are other players on that team that have not been able to produce. You know how long they searched for that guy to get in front of the net in the dirty areas and put the puck in the net from McDavid? Years, Ryan. And now have him. You can't criticize the guy for doing it right.
From Mick to Mac, McDavid, Hyman, McKinnon, home streak. So glad we get to talk about him again. We've said this for weeks, even when he wasn't, I think, leading in points with Kucherov, et cetera, and McDavid for the Hart Trophy race. It's his trophy to lose. It is. Said this to you off the top when we talked about the team in the Central, the Avalanche. It's his team, and there's something different about him. There really is. The confidence is through the roof. You want to see him healthy. You want to see him just continue doing what he's doing. He's putting up points like it's nothing. And it's his heart to lose, I think.
The home point streak is incredible. If he actually makes it, if he scores and beats Gretzky's record for the most home points in a row, then I think we're going to have the conversation again. Is this more special than the 100 assists? Is this more special than Zach Hyman's?
Right,
because I think it's going to be right up there. He ain't there yet, though. If he gets there, I'm with you. Heart is his, because it's just that's too awesome to ignore. You
okay,
know
so
I love
hold
the
on.
Flashy
if he
stuff.
Does, if he doesn't get there, the heart
I
isn't
his. I think Kucherov is in the conversation. I'm sorry, I do. I think Kucherov is the most more valuable to his team, or arguably, you can make an argument. He has been in on almost half of the goals scored by that entire team. You can't say that about McKinnon.
I'm not saying that Kucherov certainly would not be in the conversation, but to me, it's a two-person race. It's McKinnon and Kucherov.
And right now, I think it is a two. And I think it's neck and neck. I don't think anybody is running away with it right now. I will give the edge to McKinnon if he does actually break that record. You know, I love the Flash man, so I'm always going to side with that. But, and also there's substance to that Flash. The fact that he scores every time they play at home contributes, I should say, a point every time at home. That's incredibly valuable as well. But I still think we have to have Kucherov in the conversation because those Lightning, they ain't in a playoff spot without him.
No, I know.
And Colorado might be. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and that's obvious. That's a really, because it's the most valuable to, like, your team. And one of the discussions is, as you just said, if that player wasn't on the club, would the team be where they're at? So, yeah, good point. We'll see. It's going to be fun down the stretch between those three. Put McDavid in there as well.
But you can't ever disregard
him. No, you can't.
He doesn't win it this year, but he'll be on the ballot.
McDavid's in the running every offseason for the heart. That's how good he is.
if he's healthy in a season. Remember he was off to, he had that little sluggish bit where we're like, he may not be on the ballot this year. Then he obviously listened to everybody.
He may not be in the top 10 in scoring. Oh, what is it? What's going on? Yeah, give me a break.
Yeah.
Last one in the West. It's all in the genes. I love when you have father-son combinations that make it in the National Hockey League. Of course, Shane Doan didn't play with Josh Doan, but Josh Doan, great script on Tuesday. You want to set it up in his NHL debut.
He did make his NHL debut and the whole family was in the house. And this is, the highlights have been splashed all over the televisions. If you haven't seen them, go to YouTube. It's such a great story. He makes his debut. He scores, beauty goal. Then he scores again, sets a franchise record for the first person to score twice in their Coyotes debut. Franchise debut, actually. So it dates back beforehand. And seeing the entire family there, I love this stuff. Everybody loves this stuff. Mom's smiling. Shane Doan, you could not wipe the smile off his face. And one of, you know, when you just, you get the sense that a family does it right.
Yeah.
This is what Josh Doan had to say in an interview post game about the advice his dad gave him ahead of time.
What did he really say to you? He tells us all these wonderful stories, do the little things, don't worry about the big things, it's just a game. What did he really say?
He told me to have fun. And,
okay.
And as cliche as it sounds, it's what he always says, and it tends to work. So just keep listening to him.
Go out and have fun. And Josh says his dad has told him that every single game since he was peewee, all the way through, go out and have a good time. It's still a game. That's what it's all about. And look at how that breeds success. And now we have a blossoming NHL player. He's expected to stick around. He's expected to play there next year. Who knows where his career goes? Doesn't have to be his dad. It doesn't matter. It's already a huge success. Go out and have fun.
The key with that is you need to, and as Josh did say, his dad preached that to him when he was young. Not saying he's old, but when he was playing in a lot smaller, tinier leagues.
He was a kid, yeah.
But you need to preach that to kids. You do. Because there's so much intensity from parents as well and stands and all this stuff. And it takes away the joy of the game. At the end of the day, and I say this all the time with any sport, they play a game. They get paid well for it in the pros. But at the end of it, you play a game, have fun. It's a sport. Not many people. And it doesn't matter if you're Shane Doan's son. Not many sons and whatever get a chance to play in the National Hockey League. So I'm with you. There was a great picture, too, of the whole family. Shane and the daughters and every, and they all look so good. I know it was a great moment, but I'm with you with the whole, you just know when things, they do it the right way. You look at the picture, and optically you think, that is a really cool, very tight-knit group. I love it.
It very much seems that way, and the pure joy is just something else.
Like the pure joy I have doing this with you every time we do.
All right back at you.
Okay. From west to east, we'll talk Rangers. Hey, Bruins, Panthers, would love to see you do a 7-game series again. What about the Leafs, Capitals, Wings? We'll go east after this. Bucks and seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria, Matty Ash, we will see you.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
That is Ryan Payton and I am Victoria Matiash, and this is Pucks and Seven, brought to you by Damon Barber Canada. Damon Barber Canada, all about elevating your grooming experience. From offering premium products to the commitment to quality, Damon Barber is a name that resonates with those who appreciate the finer things. So head over to DamonBarber.ca. Use the code PUCKSAND7 at checkout for an exclusive discount of 25% of all of their fantastic products. We will say PUCKSAND7, the word pucks, the word in, seven the number. Don't write out seven. We had an issue with that with the listener.
No,
recently.
And hopefully seven's lucky whether you write it out or whether you just do it numerical.
But
right?
You're going to get, and you're going to get 25% off a whole, whatever men's grooming products you want. They have a whole bunch of really nice
stuff. There's four major divisions, hair, shaving, beard, and skin. So if you want it, especially too, when you're, you know, you see all the NHL guys, they grow the postseason beards and all that stuff. If you want to follow your team, and if you want to do that, you want to keep it looking really, say you follow whoever's going to win the cup, whatever. They're in the final round, they're in the Stanley Cup final, and you've got this really nice, bushy thing, playoff thing going. DamonBarber.ca. Don't do that, Vic. DamonBarber.ca will keep it looking so fresh. It's like you're going to be a Stanley Cup winner. You're going to look like a Conn Smythe winner. I'll leave it at that.
Maintenance is key. That's all I'm saying. You can grow the beard, but you need to maintain the beard.
Wise words from Vic. Maintain it. Mm-hmm. Lots going on in the East. Bruins, Panthers, Sam Reinhart just quietly going about, hey, ching, ching, guess what? Contract year, having an amazing season. Surprise, surprise. We'll talk about John Tortorella, the Leafs, in just a second as well. In the Eastern Conference, we looked at the Central, and we didn't talk about the Pacific, really. We talked about the Kings and Edmonton a bit, but we didn't talk about Vancouver. But safe to say, at least in my book, I do believe Colorado is the best team in the Western Conference. Are the Rangers, out of the few that are really playing well this season, are the Rangers the best in the Eastern Conference?
They're the only team that has 100 points in the whole league, so I
that
suppose we should
that
say.
That doesn't mean they're the best.
I suppose not, but it helps bolster the argument, I would say. The fact that they're 8-2 in their last 10 also helps bolster the argument. They're like, and this is so interesting to me, they're like the Dallas Stars of the West in the fact that we don't talk about them that much.
No.
And while we understand we don't talk about the Stars because they do play hockey in Texas, it doesn't right. necessarily generate the same attention, unfairly, mind you, that teams on the East Coast do. This is the New York Rangers, bud. Like, these are the Rangers, original yeah. six. They play on Broadway. They play in the Big Apple. They're one of the storied, most popular franchises in the entire league. And they quietly have secured a playoff spot, lead the league. And again, we don't talk about Artemi Panarin enough. We don't talk about other players, Zibanejad enough. We don't talk about other players on that team. But all they do, they're just quietly winning.
Isn't there a song? All I do is win,
all
win,
I do
win.
Is win. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to keep singing that or?
No. I think we're going to take a pass. Thank you. Next time, next show.
Yeah, right. Okay, so yeah, they have 100 points. Totally get it. Boston, 99. Florida, 97. Carolina, 97. I don't know what it is about them. There's really nothing concrete as reasoning that I do feel that the Rangers are not the strongest team in that Eastern Conference. You're right, 100 points. You can't go wrong. Plus 47, 48 wins, 8-2 in the last 10. Go ahead. I'm leaving you hanging.
Okay, who's the challenger then?
The Bruins or the Panthers? Those are my challenges.
Okay, well, who would you pick, either from the Bruins or the Panthers?
The Panthers.
I'm still on the Panthers, and a lot of people will argue it's Carolina. That's what's interesting to me about the East. Any given week, you could say the Boston Bruins are the best team in the East.
It could flip-flop, yeah.
Carolina Hurricanes felt like the best team in the East. I still think the Carolina Hurricanes can make a very solid argument with the, first of all, with their current record and also the additions they made.
I think the Canes are making less, not, sorry. They're not making less noise, but there's less noise being made about them than there is the Rangers. And we're not saying that people are talking too much about the Rangers.
Right. So. No, it's true. And the way that they've been winning as well, especially with the additions at the trade deadline, which were a little out of left field and also super key.
Yeah.
Kuznetsov and Jake Gensel. And that team has a completely different look to it now. Not a completely different look, but they're better. They're better than they were, and they were already pretty good. Right. So, I mean, if you're going to ask me right today, again, it's March 28th. Now it's about 10 o'clock, something like that. You're going to ask me to order it. I'm still going Rangers, Canes now, Panthers, Bruins. Those
really?
Are my top born in. Yes, in order.
So two in the Metro, then the two in the Atlantic.
Ryan, I look at the Boston Bruins. I have said this. I said this since the summertime. They're weak down the middle. They're just, it's not the same without Bergeron, Krejci. It's not. It's just not the same team. And the centers on every other team that I just mentioned, I think, are stronger individuals than what the Boston Bruins are dealing with Charlie Coyle and Zacha right now.
Interesting.
Of course it is.
At the end of it all, though, they're all great teams. They're all great teams.
Cream of the crop in the East.
Cream of the Eastern crop.
I mean, when the Lightning are playing well, the Leafs are the Leafs. But I think that top four, there's some separation between them and the rest.
Yeah. The Bruins and the Panthers in those top four, in your mind, 3 and 4 in that Eastern Conference, I would say they're further ahead. I would go Florida, the Rangers, Boston, then Carolina. So that would be my top four in that Eastern Conference. I'd love to see these two teams go at it in a 7-game set. It did not look like it was going to go 6 games last year or 5 games. It did go 5 games. It was 3-1. And then Marchand was stopped by Bobrovsky on that breakaway. Rest is history. But with what the two teams, how they're constructed, even without Krejci and Bergeron, you talked about that. The Panthers and Bruins quietly have gone. Let's not forget, they had an historic season last year. Whatever it was, 503 points in the season is unbelievable to have. And now the expectation was, okay, you're not going to get that high, but still, you're just going, you're almost at 100, going up about your business. The two teams, though, the last couple games that we've seen them play each other, talk about playoff hockey.
Oh, this week was a banger, man. But it was almost a perfectly constructed hockey game. Because Panthers scored, Boston responds. Yeah. Panthers scored, Boston responds. And guess what happened after that? The Panthers scored. And then Boston responds. And then the winner was scored. It was like you never knew exactly who was going to run away with it, which is obviously a sign of an excellent game, no matter the sport, when you can't guess the outcome halfway through. You didn't know what was going to happen. There was a fight in there. I know some people care about that more than others, but it just, you know, adds a little bit of extra drama, adds a little bit of extra intensity. It was it's not a perfect hockey game. There's no such thing, but it was wildly entertaining. Both you and I enjoyed that one thoroughly.
It was about as even as you can get, even in the stats. I think the shots were 21 apiece, something like that.
They were.
So, that's about as even as you can get.
Hey,
Sam Reinhart.
Almost the same number of penalty minutes, 19 to 17.
Well, there you go, right?
Way too many penalty minutes for any given hockey game, according to any coach. But again, there was a couple fighting majors, so that helps to account for that.
And if they do, I mean, it's going to be a great series regardless. If they do end up meeting together, if they don't, then I'm sure some of the other series will be just as good. Sam Reinhart is going to make a lot of money next season. He's going to have he's in the last year of that 3-year contract, and he's putting up numbers. He did it last year. He did it in the postseason, I remember. He's doing it again this season. So now begs the question, as we get closer to the end of his contractual year, and no surprise, Vic, that another guy's having a great season when he's going to get paid, what's that contract going to look like?
A lot of people are throwing around $10 million a year. Does that feel rich or cheap to you?
It feels rich.
It feels rich to me too.
Yeah. Tops I would go 9.5.
I'm around there.
Okay.
But what do I think he's going to get? I think he's going to get $10 million. I think there's going to be a team out there that's going to pay it. What he should get is a different discussion. And I think he's more around the 9 range and the lower 9 range. And this is why. The 51 goals so far through 72 games is outstanding. Nobody is arguing that. He is having a heck of a career. He's having a heck of a year. And it's not done anytime soon. Let's see what he does in the playoffs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Sam Reinhart has been in the league for almost a decade now. He was drafted second overall by the Buffalo Sabres and was considered a consistent disappointment for seasons and seasons on end. It's wonderful that he's now getting better and he has blossomed, but with the Panthers for sure, but he only scored, I say only 31 goals. 31 goals is a very respectable haul, but he's only scored 33 and 31 the last two seasons with the Panthers. This is still an anomalous season. This is out of the ordinary for him.
Right.
So if you're looking at the entire resume, then it's like, okay, what have you done for me lately has been great. But now am I going to sign you to 7 years or 6 years or 8 years? He's 28, so he can get an 8-year deal. Am I going to sign you? Am I going to make that incredible investment in you? And there's going to be regression from here on out. Is this the peak or is this a sign of things to come? If it's a sign, if he's going to score 50 goals every year, he deserves $10 million. I don't think he's going to score 50 goals every year because he hasn't yet.
So do you think, just speculating down the road, whenever he does sign the contract, for whatever it is, let's say it's 10, and let's say, as you said, eight years. Do you think... Hold on.
So much money.
Do you think that this is going to be a player who is going to go from whatever... Say he ends up with 55 this season. Are we not going to see above 40 or something like that for the rest of this new contract? Is that where this is going, do you think? Because you're very skeptical, I can tell. And you made good points about how many goals he scored before this. He's been in the league a long time. This is just a flash in the pan kind of thing. And is he worth this amount of money?
It's not a flash in the pan, but it's a sizzling in the pan for me. I think this is a highlight. Is he going to score 50 again? No. I'm not sure.
I'm with you.
Sometimes everything works out and he's having a career year, but he's 28 years old, Ryan. He's been around. He didn't just fall off the turnip truck. He had years in Buffalo of underwhelming people and he's the same guy.
Let me ask you this quickly. Do you think he'll explore free agency?
I think it's going to depend what the Panthers come to him very quickly with. But of course, I would. If I'm his agent, I would. His agent, who now hates me, he's not worth $10 million. Are you crazy? Uh-huh. Any NHL team would be crazy to give him $10 million. But the market dictates that is what he's going to get. So I think he is going to get it. I would absolutely explore free agency. If I'm him, though, I want to stay in Florida. Now, this works, man. Him playing with who he's playing with, this yeah. works really, really, really well. This is a yeah. very good hockey team that is going to challenge again for a Stanley Cup, not only this year, but next year, possibly the year after that. They have a great core. They've got great coaches. Everything is working out really well. So I would want to stay there. But if the Panthers are going to give him 8.5 and somebody's going to offer him 11, there's no way he's not taking 11. So.
No, I think that would be a huge gap. That would be too big of a gap. But also, let's not forget, too, looking at the UFA situation for the Panthers next season, right now, you have six. So the ones, they have 34 mil committed to the forwards for next season. Reinhart is done. The contract, I'm just saying. Opozo's done. Tarasenko's done. Cousins is done. The only ones who are extended for an extended amount of time, Barkov, Tkachuk. You've got one more year left with Sam Bennett. One more year left with Carter Verhaeghe. Rodriguez has three more years left after this. On the defensive side of things, you only have two guys signed through 24-25. Forsling and Nico Mikola. So I'm not saying that's a reason why the Panthers he shouldn't re-sign with Florida, but maybe the team's not going to be it's not going to look the same as it is now next season based on the free agency they have to go.
Of course, I still think Barkov and Tkachuk are that's the engine of that team up front.
Oh, of course it is. Of course.
I like Sam Bennett. I like Carter Verhaeghe, but really it's a Barkov Tkachuk team and they are signed long-term. And I would want, if I was a winger or a center in this league, I would want to play with one of them. So.
No, I know. Yeah. Florida's no, I'm with you. I'm with you. Okay. Toronto Maple Leafs, yet again, they're making the news I'm going to say the wrong reason. So they played the Devils. Why don't you take me through that and us through that? Cause you were actually at that hockey game.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, right. So I remember I texted you saying, oh, sorry about the result. And you said it was an intense game. It was decent. But at the end of it, let's hear from Sheldon Keefe. And he wasn't the only one who went off. Matthews went off on the team. Nylander went off on his own team and the mates and all that. But here's what Sheldon Keefe said specifically about leadership and specifically about their captain.
They got to be the example. John Tavares has been the example for us. He's been outstanding for us for a long period of time. He himself got carried away tonight. That's our captain. So if that's going to happen, the rest of our benches now, we're just making it up as we go. When you do that, you open the door for the opposition to have a good night. And they did that. And I thought, you know, the last goal at the end of the third period there, that's indicative of our second and third periods.
Now, that comment followed how the entire team played poorly and it was an immature performance.
Awful.
And it was embarrassing and it was awful. And I can tell you, having watched it from beginning to end, sitting in the stands and seeing every little bit of it, so the way I characterized it to you, Ryan, in text, I said it wasn't boring.
Right, it wasn't boring, yeah.
It wasn't boring. They had something like 25 shots on the New Jersey Devils in the first period. Only one went in. Jake Allen was great. Did Jake Allen save that first period and probably the game for the Devils? Absolutely 100%.
Yes.
Just take all of that away. I have not seen a hockey team play so irresponsibly defensively in a very long time. It was a bunch of kids having fun on a frozen pond, which is fine when you're a bunch of kids having fun on a frozen pond.
Why is TJ Brody back in the lineup?
That's a tough one, eh? I have a hard time dealing with that one because I know what he's gone through personally and I know you have to separate it. Mm-hmm. But just everything he's dealt with, and he was such a good defender in the past. Waiting for him. I know it's a tough one. Now, they didn't have Morgan Rielly in the lineup.
Yeah.
They didn't have Mitch Marner in the lineup. Samsonov still wasn't ready to go. Joseph Woll letting in the first shot of the game did not help matters, although you're not laying the loss on him. You're not.
Side note on Samsonov, he did say to Keefe, he's like, I'm good. I'm ready to go now. But Keefe is very hesitant to bring him back. So there's that.
And I like that. I think that's proper caution.
I do too.
So make sure that he is 150%. I know that's not a real integer and I hate it when people say it, but I already did, so I can't take it back.
Well,
make sure he's super great.
Let's make it 149 just to not make it 50. Carry on.
Anyway, so it was the Leafs are in trouble. If you were watching that game and you said that team there, the ones in the blue and white, they're going to go to the playoffs, you're going to be like, what? Why?
This, Yeah. And this, the one word also that Keith used, and you don't hear this barely at all. At least I haven't. Maybe you have. I'm not sure. He used the word immature.
Oh, they were immature. Yeah.
And just you think about that word for a second. You can say as a coach, you know, oh, we were bad. We were awful. We didn't all this. But when you say immature.
Yeah, it hurts, eh?
It hurts. Yeah. And if I was Matthews and Nylander and Marner and Oisen playing and all the guys that have been there for a long time, and it's not like you're 35 or anything, but you've had plenty of time to grow up in this league. So that to me would have really, really hit home. And I think maybe it did because obviously all of them to a man were saying, yeah, think we were immature. It's going to be interesting to see how they respond, though.
Against the Capitals, one of the surging teams in the East, that is the next game. It's also going to be interesting to see how Keefe decides finally on cobbling together. And I know there's a couple injuries in play, but his top six defenders, he needs to figure this out before April 19th. He really does. Because right now, this jigsaw approach he's taking to it, I'm going to put one piece in, I'm going to take one piece out. I know there's some injuries in play as well, but you better figure this out sooner rather than later. And if it's Benoit instead of Brody, so be it. But you got to figure it out because in the first round of the playoffs, Ryan, it's not the time to experiment with this
okay,
stuff.
So let me ask you this then, and then we'll leave the Leafs alone until we talk about them again, which will be next pod.
or you and I privately after
right,
we get on.
We'll do this in an hour once we're done. I would not start TJ Brody in a playoff series. I would not start him in game one. I wouldn't. Because I think, and again, you make a point about the things that he's gone through, that's fine. But you've got to separate that to what's going to win you hockey. And I know we both have good hearts. TJ Brody's contract, he's done this year. He's not going to re-sign with Trent. The Leafs are not going to re-sign him. But he would have been traded a while ago, but no one's going to pick up that contract. I think he's making $5 million. No one's going to pick up a TJ Brody year before, whatever it is. I think you have to say, sorry, it's not. I would take a Benoit over him. I would take a Connor Timmins over TJ Brody at this point, to be honest with you.
I think maybe that might even be an Oshman. And by the way, Liljegren hasn't been a superstar either.
No, he
is
not.
It's not. It hasn't been just one player either. Like, you're going with Riley, McCabe, Benoit, Edmondson.
So you know
probably,
what?
Probably. And Lubushkin, maybe.
It's not on Keefe to figure it out. It's on the defense to figure it out themselves. If Liljegren hasn't been great, Brody hasn't. It's up to them to figure out how to be better. I sometimes think about coaches, oh, they have to be the ones to do this.
Yeah, you but can you only still teach decide these. Who you're putting on the ice, though. You're deciding if somebody isn't doing it, Ryan, you have
but
to decide.
But the point is, if they can individually start to do something right, then that makes his job easier. So it's not on him. That's what I'm saying.
All right. He has options. There are options. I'm not saying that the Leafs are going to go down the sewer in four games in the first round, but again, they have a couple of weeks. They have 2.5 weeks right now to figure this out very quickly.
What does minus 26 get you in the NHL?
I don't even know where you're going with this.
Oh! I know. Yes, you do.
Gets you a wild card spot?
Yeah. See, there you go. I knew it. Oh man, if you could have seen what I saw people right now, she all of a sudden jumped. Oh, wait a minute.
Light bulb minus went off.
minus 26. Capitals are in that second wild card spot.
That's amazing.
I know. I'm not sure if I don't think we completely wrote them off. We've been talking about Pittsburgh and Washington for a number of weeks. And over the course of the weeks, when they progress, Pittsburgh has gone, but Washington still is going.
You're being very generous with me right now because I did write them off and I've written them
okay,
off.
Okay, well, just can you just go with me with this, please?
You're being very generous with me. I don't think you ever did, but
I never
did.
So Vic did. I was trying to make this a nice conversation. Okay, so
they are. It's hard to argue with what they're doing right now. How can you argue with it?
You can't.
All of a sudden, Charlie Lindgren looks like a real bona fide starting goaltender in the NHL. I'm not saying he can't be, but he just never has been. That's all. And he's confident as all get out. Alex Ovechkin looks like the Alex Ovechkin we were talking about who was going to chase down Wayne Gretzky's goal record and does again. And now that's become a conversation again. The young kids are pitching in. Dylan Strome all of a sudden is just putting up points every single game. It's all work. The defense is doing their job. Everything is now working out and they're winning and they're winning and they're winning and they're winning and they're winning. And right now they're in a second wild card spot. And even if they don't, they could even clinch third in their division if the Flyers don't get their act together consistently in the last few games as well. They could overtake the Flyers. So let's just say the Red Wings get their act together, that's a big if because they're having some issues, but they reclaim that wild card spot. Washington still isn't out of it. they can still chase down the Flyers. We're going to get to the Flyers in a bit because goodness knows there's enough going on there. But it's been amazing. It's been amazing what the Capitals have accomplished.
Let me just go over what they've done in March because we're almost done. We're on the 28th now, so we have one, two, three, four more days left to go if you include this one. This defines and explains to me why this team is a minus 26. You beat Philly 5-2. You lose to Arizona 5-2. You beat Pittsburgh 6-0, and I'm going further on. A couple games after, you lose to Edmonton 7-2. Then beat Calgary 5-2, lose to Toronto 7-3. Then you beat Carolina 7-6. The point is that one night they can score 100, then the next night they give up 100. So there's no consistency with that, to be honest with you, how they're playing. But they have Toronto and Boston to close out the month, so we'll see.
Now, they just got pumped by Toronto a little while ago, very recently. So it's going to be interesting. But right now, we just devoted a little bit of time to how Toronto is floundering. So this game is going to be very interesting. If they beat Toronto and Boston, though, holy Henrietta. So I was listening to the game on Sunday on the radio, and it was the Caps call, and it was Alex Ovechkin. I don't know if he'd scored his first or second because he'd scored two in that game. And the announcer's just having a time of it. What was it? The rumored demise of Ovechkin has been greatly exaggerated. And it was just such a fun call. I burst out laughing. It was such a fun call. Kudos to whoever that was. I don't know the radio P by P guy, but it was quite something. And he was right. The rumors of Ovi's demise have been greatly exaggerated.
Make this be again something that is obvious to people that Alex Ovechkin, he may not be 22 anymore, but when you are a goal scorer, a pure goal scorer, you just need 1 or 2 weeks and then you're back on it. It's like riding a bike. Get off it for a bit, not too good. Oh, now I've got it. You can't take that away from the guy. You really can't. Even if he was 40 right now or 43, I'd still say the same thing. It's in his blood. It's ingrained in him. You went to the Devils and Leafs game the other night. Devils win, and they needed that. You look now in the wild card race in the Eastern Conference, and Detroit is sitting in the third spot. Again, we're doing this on the Thursday of the 28th, with 79 points, 2 points back. And the Isles sit 6 points back. Looking at the games in hand, the Isles have, same games as Washington does left, and they have one game in hand on Detroit. Is Detroit going to push, or are the Isles going to fall?
I have very little faith in what the Islanders could accomplish from now until the end of the season, just because
they have something going for them. Hold on. They're a minus 27.
Right.
Washington's a minus 20. Listen, all so they have to do is, if they can do it, why can't we?
Right.
No, they're done in my book.
They have, I think there's not enough calendar left. Yep. Okay. First of all, they have lost games. They got blanked by those same Devils 4-0 the other night. That couldn't happen. That just couldn't happen. They had one great win over the Jets recently, and I think it was over the weekend. Other than that, it has been absolutely putrid. And Patrick Roy, you could tell he's trying everything. He's trying to goad his players. He's trying to cheerlead his players. He's criticizing his goaltending. Maybe, he'll smack them into reality for that. But they really had a golden opportunity here. They do have a very easy schedule coming up. The next three games are against Flyers, Blackhawks, Blue Jackets.
Yeah.
Six of 6 points. They re-enter the conversation, maybe depending on what the Capitals do and the Flyers do. But other than that, you got to go 6 for 6 here. I think next week when you and I are talking, I think we might be actually like completely wiping our hands of them once and for all. I'm not going to say Detroit is out of it yet. But again, we need to see what they're going to do in the coming days. I think there is still a threat if the Philadelphia Flyers flounder. And I think that's a possibility. Yeah. And the Capitals have the opportunity for third spot in that division. I think Detroit has a shot at a wild card spot. What do you think?
Crazy to think, too, that we're talking about Detroit and the Islanders when there's such a discrepancy in goal scoring. Detroit has 245 and New York at 212. The team just can't score, and they haven't scored for a very long time. You mentioned the Flyers. We're going to end on this. John Tortorella back in the news. So last Sunday, they lost 4-1 to a very good team in the Florida Panthers. And we all know Carter Hart's gone. And so Tortorella's had to do some changing and alterations in goal, so to speak. So 38 seconds into his post-game presser, he ends it because he was asked about the play of goalie Felix Sandstrom on that night. He allowed two questionable goals that could have been stopped. Tortorella just kind of shrugged his shoulders, put his hands up, didn't say a word about anything to do with his performance. And then he walked out of the presser. What do you make of it?
Well, I mean, the actions speak louder than words, right? So,
and then he apologized about his actions.
Yes, he did eventually. Torts is torts. I think he's great for the game. I can't speak to what it's like playing for him, obviously. People who have said that it's been an excellent experience for the most part. Not everybody has loved the guy. You're never going to please everybody, but he gets a lot of really good reviews. I think that players like to play for this guy. What's been interesting to me recently, the benching of Sean Couturier. So you give somebody the captaincy and then you bench them and make a big deal about it. And there was a little bit of a public fight about that. And now you're turning and...
You and I had a fight about it too, by the way.
We did.
In our last pod. We didn't fight. Well, we have
whatever...
A heated discussion.
You can't. You're incapable of it. I am. You're incapable of it.
Oh, you for sure. Yeah.
But
okay,
whatever a fight is to you, that's what
right.
we had.
Right.
So anyway, but just to take this approach, I think Torts is starting, his approach to the game, his approach to coaching his players, his approach to speaking to the media is starting to smell a little desperate to me. It's almost like he's pulling all the stops out now.
Yeah.
I'm just going to walk out. I'm going to make another scene. I'm going to bench my captain. I'm going to do this because he is desperate. He is in a desperate position to hold on to that third spot in the division. And I think because he understands this is going to be, not only do you always want to make the postseason, that is your goal as a player, that is your goal as a coach, but it's going to look really good on him individually as a coach as well to take a team that we did not have in playoff contention.
Yeah,
most
no,
people did not,
yeah.
And has had a heck of a run this season. That's without question. So I think the pressure's on a little bit, and I think he's cracking under it a little bit.
I say this about all sports, that it's a lot easier to play and you feel less pressure when you are not hunting, when you're actually hunting. When you're the hunted, for example, like the Flyers are, you're always looking in the rear view thinking, uh-oh, and now the Capitals are 1 point back of them. And Washington, yeah, they both have the same amount of, nope, Washington has two games in hand. That's unbelievable.
That's
and they've
why
won three
desperate.
In a row.
They're, yeah. Washington is in the driver's seat here a little bit, Ryan.
I'll
say
this,
though. If they win all their games, they're gonna take over that spot, right?
Desperate times call for desperate measures, but you got to be a little better with that. It's, you know, it's not on the goal. Whatever. I know it's sports and all that thing, but yeah, a lot of pressure with John Tortorella. Okay, we're out of time. Going to be a lot of fun next time we do this. Again, we're marching toward the postseason. Thanks for listening. Pucks and Seven. Follow us on Twitter at Ryan and Peyton, at Victoria Mattias. Also on Instagram at PatesRP and Mattias Victoria. And catch us wherever you get your podcasts, also on the SiriusXM app. And thanks again to DamonBarber.ca for being part of this. Log on to DamonBarber.ca for your chance to get 25% off some of their amazing products. We'll talk to you next time.
Pucks and Seven, brought to you by DamonBarber.ca. Available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.